need the bike to get to the ABC store from the text line at 343-0106. Did y'all hear my discussion? I guess it was last week. We talked ABC a little bit more. Phil Williams from Alabama Policy Institute. He and I were talking about the ABC and the 11 o'clock at night closure for alcohol sales. You got to order it by 11, polish it off by 11:30. And then, of course, got me on the extended rant about ABC. But that's, you know, I don't know if we have, we've done that before, but the way that's set up in the state, we'll tackle that. And maybe I'll get our buddy Jeff Poor in on the mix, which, by the way, 9 o'clock, about an hour from now, Jeff Poor Show, week two, right here at FM Talk 106.5. We're real fired up about that. So that's on our list of things to discuss. School within 48 hours opening back up for Baldwin County.
Yep.
We got the parochial schools. I know my kids are going back. Not today, Wednesday.
Wednesday,
I guess they get
the
back 12th. Wednesday. Yeah, they get back Wednesday.
And the same for Baldwin County Public Schools. They're scheduled to be back in on the 12th. And, you know, it does seem, even though Mobile County Public Schools announced about a month ago that they were going virtual only beginning September 1st. So not only pushing back the beginning of the Mobile County Public School year, but also going virtual only for at least the first 9 weeks, which would put you right around the beginning of November if they do bring students back to class. But even, you know, Baldwin County Public Schools, most of these schools have that availability to also take virtual classes if you're not comfortable sending your children back just yet.
Of course, there's a whole other part of that story we may talk about later this hour, where Governor Ivey has the executive branch in charge of allocating the money from the CARES Act. This is the first CARES Act, not the poppycock that's going on right now in Washington. Yeah. Of course, President Trump over the weekend is signing an executive order, which I think is going to be challenged and
no
probably
doubt
lose on the challenge here. But for the time being, he's got that executive order. We'll talk about that. But the situation where you've got, you've got the money that was given to the states, and I don't think it was equal for every state, but we got $1.8 billion that went to the state of Alabama. Actually, and out of that, a couple hundred thousand went to Birmingham and I think Montgomery, because if your city was big enough, qualified big enough, you got, and if we had annexed in the areas in West Mobile, we'd have gotten it too, this federal money that went directly to the municipalities. But the rest of it is through the state. $1.8 billion, when you net it down, probably like $1.6 billion. Governor Ivey is, remember the hubbub at the end of session? Governor Ivey ends up being in charge of it, not the legislature. And she's done money now for vouchers to pay for internet for children, you know, that I guess children that qualify for free lunch. They can get these vouchers for internet. And then a push here to physically buy these laptops. We had the story about the Etowah County schools and that laptop issue from last week, but they're spending that money on that. Nothing yet on rural broadband, other than a big push for broadband providers, but nothing done by the governor yet on that.
Yeah, and that's been an issue, too, with so many people working from home or schooling at home now. The computers, there's been a run on laptops, and it's been more difficult.
You can't find, it is hard to find the right laptop right now.
It really has. And, you know, they've been buying up Chromebooks to get out to all the kids that are going to be learning at home. But speaking of that CARES Act money and this executive order from the president over the weekend, you know, there was that talk of whether the $600 extra dollars of unemployment per week would continue.
Mm-hmm.
The president, in his executive order, he lowered that to $400 per week, but said that $100 of that $400 would come from the state. And now states are trying to figure out whether they have the money to pay for that. One thing that the Virginia governor brought up, he asked whether using that CARES Act money that was sent to the states, whether states could use that in these unemployment claims if they're asked to pay $100 of that $400 extra dollars.
Yeah, that's a solid question. I mean, there's so many questions on how, you know, I came up with all kind of different ideas how you could use the CARES Act money to benefit the state and kind of tackle the coronavirus issue. But they got to check with the Treasury on every one of these things. So that'd be interesting. I think Alabama's max unemployment weekly is 235 or 250.
Something.
There.
It's in the 200s.
So, you know, right now the maximum exposure, $250. What about 100 versus... Well, watch, I don't know. I mean, it's like so many... you know what the catchphrase of 2020 is? I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll see what's next. All right, 812 FM Talk 106.5. Hopefully coming up soon, we'll check in with Paul Feinbaum, talk some college football, and talk to you as well at 343-0106. Right, 817 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along this morning. And as we mentioned, joined by the man, and he takes over these airwaves 2 o'clock every weekday afternoon, Paul Feinbaum, joining us now to talk college football. And Paul, you and I, first of all, thank you for being on.
I'm delighted, Sean. It's been too long, but it's always great to reconnect.
It is, and you know, often we're on here talking about the SEC season as it's laid out. We were kind of picking matchups. You and I might go back and forth about some games. But today, it's will there be games? I mean, this what is going on? We get the rumors of the emergency meeting and going on. What is the future of college football right now on this Monday?
It is extraordinarily bleak, and you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, but let's talk about where we are first. There's a serious move in the Big Ten to cancel the season, put it off the spring, cancel it. Nobody really knows. And that looks real. So that has been going on for a couple of days, and you can imagine that has tipped the balance in college athletics. The reason why it's important is because the Pac-12 usually goes in concert with the Big Ten. So suddenly you could have two of the five conferences out by midweek, and that puts the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC in a precarious position of do we want to try to convince people it's safe to play if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are saying it's not? So that's why we are at DEFCON 2, maybe moving toward 1, and that's why a lot of people are reporting that the college football season is just about done. It's incredible to watch. When I was on Friday night, we had the live presentation of the SEC 2 additional teams. Mm-hmm. So at Friday night at 5 o'clock Mobile time, the college football season pretty much looked alive and well in the South.
And Paul, the big news Saturday with the MAC announcing they're postponing their season became the first FBS division to do so. But in the Power 5, we're talking Big Ten once again. They were the first to announce they were going conference only, and now it looks like maybe the first Power 5 to announce they may postpone the season. Why, in your opinion, is the Big Ten leading the way on these issues?
I think there are a couple of specific reasons. The presidents. Ultimately, you know, we talk about athletic directors and head football coaches, but ultimately presidents rule these campuses, and they're all in the same business trying to make money, but they also are going to be a little more careful in the end. And in the Big Ten alone, the president at the University of Michigan is an immunologist. The president at Michigan State is an epidemiologist. So you can bet that the rest of those presidents who may have classic PhDs from Harvard or Brown or wherever are leaning on those two, and I have yet to talk to many people in infectious disease who think it's a good idea to have a college football season.
That's the way it seems it's trending. In your opinion, if the Big Ten and then, like you said, the Pac-12, if they both decide to postpone the fall season, is there a world where the SEC or Big 12 continue with their plan to play?
It's hard to imagine it going very long. I know that as of this morning, the SEC was still holding on and talking to people very early. But you know, this is starting to remind me a little bit of March. Suddenly, remember the Ivy League canceled college basketball, mm-hmm. And then everyone said we're fine. And then 2 days later, after the Rudy Gobert situation in the NBA, it all fell apart. So. I just can't believe that the SEC will want to go it alone or even with a partner. The criticism would just be treacherous and suffocating from the rest of the country.
Yeah, Paul, thinking about the players out there saying, some over the weekend, of course, on social media, saying that they want to play. What about a situation where those that want to play, I imagine the coaches, of course, they want to play. Those that don't want to, they have some, you know, deferral or something like that, no punishment against them, and they keep eligibility or something to that effect. I mean, let the players that want to play play. Let the folks that are worried about it stay off the field.
Yes, I mean, a little bit of that is going on. I mean, you've had a handful of players opt out, but it's I don't think it's enough because, you know, what are we really talking about here? If money weren't an issue, this conversation may have been adjudicated a long time ago. But money is an issue. I don't think I need to convince you or anyone in the audience how important college football is. So that's that's always the been driving the bus. But the players are gaining a voice, but I don't think it's going to affect the ultimate decision here. It's going to affect the future of college football. The players are talking about a union, and these are things that are absolute nightmares to college administrators, especially in a sport that allegedly is amateur.
Well, that's what I was going to ask next, Paul. I think Matt Hayes with Bleacher Report, he said a athletic director from the Power Five texted him and said that we're all chasing the wrong story, that presidents of these schools are terrified of these players organizing. And then yesterday with Trevor Lawrence and Najee Harris kind of leading the charge with these hashtag we want to play posts and then calling for a players association, how worried are these leaders of the universities about players organizing?
Well, they're worried because while it may not affect the immediate future, it's going to affect the long term. And already in college athletics, you have the name, image, and likeness debate, which is set to go into effect next year, which will pay players for endorsements and things like that. That's taken forever to accomplish. And if you have a players' union, they're going to want money. and that's not something that anyone in the NCAA structure really wants to give them.
Well, speaking of Trevor Lawrence and some of these big players, I want to talk about the fallout if this season is postponed or canceled. How many of these draft-eligible players could you see sitting out if they decide to move the 2020 season to spring 2021?
Well, that's for all the ones who have tweeted how much they want to play. It would be interesting to see if they do play. I bet they won't. I think spring football would be a disaster. First of all, I've covered a lot of spring leagues. It's just The mindset of the public, even without football in the fall, has never been good for the spring. And secondly, the NFL issue is a major card. On top of that, it will affect the next year. You can't have an 8 or 10 game season ending in April or May, and then have players ready to roll again for a season that will begin in late August. So, do you really want to destroy two seasons to save one? And I don't think it will happen. I mean, I think it will happen in the Ivy League, maybe the MAC, but I have a hard time believing the SEC wants to play in the spring.
And continuing with that fallout question, I know a couple weeks ago the Pac-12 leaders were looking into a possible $1 billion loan for the entire conference if their fall sports weren't played. What would be, first off, I imagine the SEC would need a lot bigger loan for something like that, and then what would be the fallout for other sports on campus? I mean, they're already going through it right now.
It would be a wipeout. Even at the really successful programs, they would be hit hard. I mean, there have been speculation about the effect it would have on budgets. But by the way, it's going to affect everything. I mean, just think about Tuscaloosa and Auburn on a football weekend. Just think about everything that connects to that. I work at ESPN. I mean, I would really rather not think about what it would mean to a company that has thousands of football games on different, whether it's digital or over the air. I mean, it's going to be a hit. It's going to rival the Great Depression when it comes to the college football world.
You know, Paul, you're talking about that, and it's something I've worried about the whole time. People that are in the media that do this, of course, associated directly with the program. But you talk about Tuscaloosa on a game day. The number of dollars that come in there, that come to small businesses, whether they're parking cars, for a little cash on hand, or they're a bar or a restaurant or a souvenir provider or programs or serving the overpriced Diet Cokes there in the stadium. I mean, this affects a lot of people.
Yeah, and I mean, even if the season were to take place, Sean, it would still be bad. But with nothing, it's incalculable, and I mean you can't help but think about it. I mean, this has been going on now exactly 5 months, so we've all thought about the possibilities. But I mean, I interviewed the mayor of I think it was Tuscaloosa the other day. I mean, he threw out a number that was hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of economic impact. That's a lot of money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and because you're talking you're not only talking about football, you're talking about the university.
Yes.
And there's no guarantee how active these campuses are going to be this fall either.
That's true. And quick question, this is just your opinion. I mean, no way to know, but you talk about the education of the people at the top here that are saying no, we're probably not going to play. My wonder is if there was a liability protection. You know, we talk about this on the business side, what they're working or not working on in Washington, on protection for businesses out there on liability. What if there was some kind of blanket protection for these schools if somebody got sick? Do you think that would change the tune?
Yes. I think ultimately when the history books are written on this episode, the liability issue could very well be what people say privately did them in. I mean, if you're general counsel at the University of Alabama, you're probably the last person the president's going down to see. But how can you very well look at the president of Alabama and say this is a good idea? Because you're literally opening up the door, and that's what happened over the weekend with the new medical information. It scared everyone, and that's why I don't think you can reverse this as much as I would like to see it, and I think they're going to try. You can't argue away the medical liability.
Last two questions for me, Paul, because we always wonder, no matter what comes up in the SEC, what do you feel that Nick Saban's personal opinion on all of this is? And also, if we see the Big Ten postpone and see the Pac-12 postpone, do you expect the SEC to be the last to make their announcement public?
Yeah, second question. I think the SEC will probably move in concert with the Big 12 and the ACC. Nobody wants to be the last guy there, especially the SEC, where most of the country already thinks, you know, we would play in the middle of a tsunami. which, by the way, I've covered games in the middle of a tornado before, so I think that's correct. I think Nick Saban has to be pretty angry, and I say that because he's a football coach. He has one of his best teams in Tuscaloosa. I mean, I personally think Alabama would have won the national championship there, and he knows that as well. And so, I mean, he's got to be frustrated. He thinks like a football coach. He doesn't think like a lawyer, an epidemiologist, or even a talk show host.
And there it is. Paul, we appreciate you chiming in, and hopefully it'll be better news next time, but it sounds like it might be until 2021. And then, of course, 2021, is this thing gone or to a point where they have it? Is college football, in your opinion, 2021, we doing college football?
The question I have, Sean, before I go, in September of 2021, will we know the winner of the presidential election?
That's a good question. Which one comes first, the 2021 college football season, or will they have counted the number of mail-in ballots? Paul, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us, and y'all check him out 2 o'clock this afternoon here at FM Talk 106.5. Be well.
Thanks, guys. A pleasure to be on.
All right, 8:30. Coming back, we'll grab your phone calls at 343-0106. What do you do? What will you do with your time?
Oh man, I saw.
Dalton, you're going to have like that gives you 3 months a year back to your life.
I know. I'll have to start all these new series on Netflix. But I saw a great tweet yesterday. I think it was Joey Molinaro on Twitter who said there are a lot of guys who will have to go to the pumpkin patches this fall for the first time. They'll have to go with the wife and the kids. Go to the corn mazes. Weddings without checking the scores on your phone while you're watching someone get married on an SEC Saturday. It's going to change a lot of lives.
That's for sure. Take your calls about this, a whole lot more when we get back. Our phone number, you can dial right now, 343-0106. 343-0106. News is next.
At 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are y'all?
Doing great after this great weather over the weekend. And I know you guys had a lot of people come out to the lot at McConnell.
That's right. Want to thank everybody for coming out. We had a good Saturday. Got some great trades. And we're going to get them running through the shop, try to get them out middle part of the week. We're going to be buying some cars out of South Florida. So if you don't see anything on the website at McConnellAutomotive.com, give Gene or I a call. And we're going to, like I said, be purchasing cars this weekend. Don't forget, we got employee pricing still going on the SUVs on the new car side. And that's the deal of the century right now. We got a few Yukons left. Got a couple of new Yukons in over the weekend. They're got them PDI'd and out front, so they look sharp. If you got any questions, give Gene or I or Robert a call at 251-476-4141. Don't forget, we got all the body shop, the shop, and everything ready to go.
Yeah, you got everything there, McConnell, and you take care of the customer. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 8:37 FM Talk 106.5. And after this show concludes at 9 o'clock, when we get ready for the Jeff Poore Show here at FM Talk 106.5, we'll load up that podcast. And you can share that with your friends, with your family, with your enemies. I don't care. but questions about the college football season going forward. I said this way back. Remember,
mm-hmm.
I worried most. I mean, if you look the whole way through this channel, the people that, like, the universities will figure out a way to make it work. The media companies will figure out a way to make it work. And
it'll
be tough at ESPN without that, but they'll figure out a way to make it work. What about that person who's, they make their year? Their business goes along and goes, and like their Black Friday is a bunch of Saturdays, right? That puts them in the profit for that year. It, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact in Tuscaloosa. I'm sure the same thing at Auburn. Knoxville, just run through the list.
Well, yeah, those of you, and I know there are a lot out there that go to these games. Maybe it's one Saturday a year. Maybe you go to every single home game for Alabama or Auburn. Just think of your standard fall weekend when you go to those games. Where do you stay the night before and possibly that Saturday night? How many times do you go out to eat? Think of all that money you spend over the weekend when you go to Tuscaloosa or when you go to Auburn, and then take that and multiply it by, I don't know, 150,000 when you take into account the people outside the stadium, people inside the stadium, and then multiply that again times another 7 or 8 times for the home games. That's how much money will be lost. I mean, we were talking about the Pac-12 just a couple weeks ago. They're looking at $1 billion worth of loans. I think they said right around 870 million per school or something along those lines, and it adds up to $1 billion loan that they're looking into getting if there's no 2020 season played. And that's the Pac-12. I imagine the SEC pulls in an extra billion on top of that. So
while they're dishing out money and printing it in Washington, maybe a bailout for college football.
Yeah, the monetary issues here are just absolutely incredible how much money is at play here. And I think, you know, Paul, one of our best texters here on the text line, he said the problem is the athletic directors will want to play. The university presidents are the ones that are shutting it down. We talked a little bit about liability. If you've got players that get sick, what the optics look like having these amateur athletes. Now, you can argue whether the players should be paid or not, but as of right now, these are amateur athletes. If I asked somebody to go to work right now in this environment and told them they weren't going to get paid, would you still want to go to work in this kind of environment? That's kind of what they're asking these college players to do.
But they want to play the game.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
At least a lot of them do. So it's worth talking about.
Yeah, and it's important for a lot of these players. They're trying to make those big checks on Sundays. They're trying to make it into the NFL, and this is their resume. A lot of them, they're going to have their interviews, so to speak, their interviews with their future employers canceled if there's no football play this year.
You got the people that want to go pro, but you got that, that kid from wherever who's playing at the university he always wanted to play for. Right, he's part of his college dream, and you don't get to that level of D1 football without being an animal when it comes to playing ball.
Yeah.
That's what you live, eat, breathe, you know, sleep. It's football.
Yeah.
I mean, to be at that level, you're not a casual football player.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it.
And what a lot of the players are bringing up is, am I safer on campus playing this game? Or am I safer going back home and being around everyone that,
great question.
I mean, the virus is spreading no matter where you are, the virus is there. Are you more safe on campus? A lot of players say that they are, and they feel safer playing this game and living on campus. That's something that needs to be brought up too.
I'm just worried about what it's going to mean for the bottom line at Gillette's in Tuscaloosa. I mean, if you can't buy a Yellowhammer and a Coors Light, what are you going to do? All right, Ricky's in Mobile up next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Sean, good morning. Look, I want everybody right now that's listening to hear this, type in any three, go to Google on your phone. Any three numbers, like 666, 777, 123, anything, and then type in new cases and Google it and watch what happens.
Yeah, and we've explained this before, that this is because of... they filed the numbers over time, right, Dalton?
I mean, the virus has been around for 5-6 months at this point.
No, they're adding. No, go do what I did.
Ricky,
just
we
you
did
do.
It.
I've done
the
it.
Last
Ricky.
Time you called in with this, and have you gone and looked at the Snopes page on it?
Sean,
what?
I'm just asking you to do it. Anybody that's
we've done
did
it.
We did it, Ricky.
Numbers.
Ricky,
what?
We did it. We did it last time you called in with this.
No, I did. I ain't never did this before, Sean.
This is fresh, huh? Maybe it was somebody else. Is fresh.
If you put in any three numbers and put in new cases, mm-hmm. any three numbers and new cases and Google it, it will absolutely come up that some, them cases were added. What do it?
We did it. Hey, Ricky, is coronavirus real? Is coronavirus?
Robert, you are absolutely. This is crazy, Sean. Why are you taking up for the devil and his demons? Why are you following the devil?
Is coronavirus real?
Why do you hate the Constitution? Why do you hate people that don't believe in what's going on?
I don't hate anybody. Well, there's about seven people I hate.
Why do you trust the government? Are you part of the deep state, Sean? Do you get paid to lie and keep people in the dark?
You got me.
I get my money in it. I'm telling you, they added. I added 3,770 cases to the CDC this morning by doing what I just asked you to do, and they counted as COVID cases.
Wait, so you're saying that you are personally adding numbers to the total roll for America?
Anybody can. That's why I just told you, put in any three numbers, and then put in new cases and Google it. And it'll come up, and you'll see your number just added to it.
Yes.
I'm asking you to do this because I've never done this before, and I never knew about it until yesterday.
Well, then somebody else had called in with it, Ricky, and we did it. Ricky, is coronavirus real?
Is the flu bug real, Sean?
I asked you the first question.
Is the virus real?
Hey, I asked you the first question.
I'm asking your question.
I asked you the question first.
Sure it is. Are they counting false deaths? Sure they are. They counting everything so they can shut
down. Ricky, go back to the first question. Is coronavirus real?
They're going to crash the dollar, Sean. They've taken our dollar down, and you don't even know what's going on. You have no clue of what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing, unless you're a Freemason and you're part of this system.
So I'm a Freemason?
They're going to shut down the dollar. They're going to crash it, and that's why everybody's going to be bankrupt. There ain't going to be no 401k, no nothing. They're going to bring in civil martial law, and I'm telling
civil
you,
martial.
They're crashing the dollar.
Civil
That's
martial law.
That's what this is about.
All right, Ricky,
you
I got to get
no
the,
clue.
You got it. I know. I have no clue as a Masonic deep stater. I don't, but somehow I'll try to pull it together, and we're coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Monday style. Jeff Poor Show on the way a little after 9 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. The start of his second week gives us 8 hours in a row of live local programming from this very studio, and then at 2 o'clock every afternoon, Paul Feinbaum, who we heard from earlier this hour. All right, mentioned this in the 7 o'clock hour that coming up tomorrow, Spanish Fort has their mayor council candidate forum put on by the Common Sense Campaign Tea Party, and it's from 6 to 8 at the Spanish Fort Container Yard and a restaurant, which I have not been to. A bunch of people have talked to me about this place, but I've not been before. I want to check it out, and I'll be there. I'll be emceeing that event, and Ricky from the Common Sense Campaign is joining us here to talk more about it. Ricky, let's talk about tomorrow night's event.
I'm ready.
All right, you do it. Now, set it up. We got Spanish Fort, we got the mayoral race, and you've got council as well.
That's correct. We have three candidates in the mayoral and four different positions in the council.
All right, so I asked this question a bunch. Do you know, what's the difference between forum and debate? Is there, you know, people ask me that, and I'm like, I don't know. I think they're different.
Well, you know, when you have a forum, it gives the public, the voter, a chance to actually ask the question instead of the MC or somebody else. It feels like it's a closer relationship to what they really want to know about.
I like that. Hey, Ricky, let's talk about also the, I'm excited about going. I've heard about this, the Spanish Fort Container Restaurant and area there. That's going to be where we're doing it. It's outside, right? If somebody wants to make sure they're socially distanced, y'all are taking that into account.
Everything about the social distancing has been, went over, and yes, it's a pretty nice pavilion. It's open on three sides. It's even got ceiling fans in it. So,
like
John, it's really nice, and it's got 25 tables. But we also got areas for them to bring their own chairs. And probably 2 or 3 acres of parking lots with it over in the shopping centers.
So we got room to spread out there, but we can also at the same time ask those questions. And this is going to be starting tomorrow night. What, 6 o'clock?
6 to 8, yes, sir.
All right. So if you are in Spanish Forge, you got a lot of questions out there. And what about that too? If somebody's got a specific question they want asked in this forum, what's the process of doing that? Getting that question in the mix.
Well, I mean, Dr. Lou. Phone number and mine is on that flyer, and we've got them out in a lot of places, and they can call us or email us or email even the Common Sense website. You know, we'll get it.
Very good. I like this. Anything else people need to know before they show up tomorrow night?
You know, it should be lively. There's plenty of you know, the food's good, and we don't want to come out and enjoy it, because this is the only face-to-face chance they'll get with the candidates. So we're looking forward to it. We put a lot into it. I'd also like to say, with the situation with the mayor, that's off limits due to the legalities of it. So, but everything else is available to discuss and ask questions about, and looking forward to, and thank you for being there.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me. I'll be there emceeing the event tomorrow. Ricky with his Common Sense Campaign Tea Party, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow evening.
Good deal. And our only idea is educating the voter.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing. And you're right. In this current environment, it's harder and harder to get that face-to-face or see somebody in person, you know, to make that decision. Thank you, Ricky. We appreciate it. We'll see you in a little day and a half from now.
Good deal. Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
You too. All right. Grabbing phone calls here at 343-0106. And let's go to Summerdale. Check in with Joel. Hey, Joel.
Ooh.
Hey, Joel, got to turn down your radio.
Good morning, Sean Dalton. Sorry about that. Do y'all see if we do get canceled as far as college football, do you think we might have more players that would hold back and return next year?
That's a good question, because obviously I think they'd have to give an extra year of eligibility to everyone. But some of these players, like, I mean, I mentioned earlier, Trevor Lawrence, Najee Harris, I think anyone who is entering their junior or senior season who might be a first to third to fourth round draft pick in the NFL, I really could not see them signing up to play spring football next year.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that myself, but I don't know. It looks like there's going to be a lot of people hunting this year.
Yeah, that, now that's what, Joel, that's the...
A lot of people sitting in a tree stand or whatever.
Joel, so. Joel, you're right. I mean, we talked about this with Chuck Sykes from DCNR, and how the, just y'all who don't hunt, just listen to Joel and I for a second. The turkey numbers harvest way, way up. We saw it with Snapper, how fast we reached the quota. There's a lot of people, Joel, that, I mean, this is the stuff I do all the time, but there's a lot of people that, they have other things, or play golf, or, you know, go to these games and all that stuff that, yeah, are now going to go outside. Look at the sales of campers and boats and all that. So it's through the roof.
Our company sells, which we deliver aftermarket four-wheel drive accessories to all these truck shops, but we also sell pools. And we're back-ordered on swimming pools. And it's just crazy right now, but... And I know one thing, everybody needs to really be really careful this year, because there's going to be a lot more people in the woods. So,
well said.
Y'all have a great day. Love listening to y'all, man.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, we appreciate Joel. It. Appreciate that call. And you can avoid that backlog of swimming pools, be like us, and inflate you one. We have our inflatable swimming pool on the back deck.
Yeah, I've got
fancy.
One of those.
I've got a neighbors little, are so pleased.
Little baby plastic pool that we've got. And I haven't even dragged it out this year. I need to. Dunk the little kid in there and see, let her cool down a little bit. I did want to, you know, we were mentioning college football. I want to say real quickly, looking at the organization that's above the NCAA, the NFL, which we talked a little bit about earlier, and then looking below the NCAA in high school sports, I think both will be affected by this decision if these conferences cancel, because the NFL, they're licking their lips. They're saying, well, if there's no college football on Saturday...
Do you think they will amend and play on Saturdays?
I definitely think so. The biggest problem with the NFL in years past has been they put all their games at the same time on Sundays. They have three time windows on Sundays where they have games, and that obviously lowers the numbers of eyeballs on each game. I think they will open it up, because they're going to play this year. You'll probably see games on Saturday, Sunday, definitely Thursday and Monday night as usual. But I think this will be bad news for high school athletics as well. We've already seen states say that they're postponing their seasons or canceling or not playing until spring. Can you imagine if Alabama and Auburn are forced to fold this year and not play college football? I just don't see the Alabama High School Athletic Association being able to say, okay, well, we can't play in Tuscaloosa or Auburn or Mobile or Birmingham, any of these colleges around here, but it's fine for the high school athletes to get out there. I think this is this would be another domino that falls, and I hate it because I just don't see how the NCAA could say we don't feel comfortable putting the players out there and then having high school athletes.
Yeah, but we can have these 16-year-olds out there.
Yeah, I absolutely hate it, but I could see that coming.
Yeah, we're going to tackle some of this, pun intended, coming up at 1 o'clock today. I don't know if you got to read on social media over the weekend, my buddy David Rasp, who has heroes is the speaking of the sports part.
Mm-hmm.
He's running a restaurant right now, and you know what people have been dealing with in the restaurant business. Then on top of that, sports,
yeah,
football, heroes. You know that whole combination is really questionable for this fall. He's going to join me at 1. David and I have known each other way too long. We probably won't admit how long, but we'll talk in the conversation about the restaurant business, what it's been like for him over these months of coronavirus, and then with no college football, what does that mean? And this is a man that at one point was employing over 80 people here between his three restaurants, 80 people, and what that means for those jobs out there. We'll talk about it. And yeah, by the way, Jim, Jim in Georgetown has turned this around. He said, "Hey, Sean, I got it figured out. You pay Ricky to call in there, don't you? Comedy relief, if you will." So Ricky accusing me of being on the take for the deep state or the Masons or something like that has actually turned around that we pay him. If I only had the budget, I would do it, Jim. But no, he's doing that for free, and it's cost me more than it's worth, probably. All right, Jeff Porcio, next, right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll see you at noon for Midday Mobile.